Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Callender. Got quite a bit to happen in the world of sports today, but among the chief items that we have to worry about is our long national nightmare is now over. I'm coming home. That's right, folks. The UCLA basketball players from China are coming back to the States. And they came back. They seemed somewhat apologetic. I mean, if you heard just the powerful words that they had to say about their apologies, I mean, I could feel the emotion coming out from them. Just as they actually had to say, thank you, President Trump. I mean, they actually sounded like hostages coming back from that press conference, to be honest. I mean, no real fantasy impact at all from this, mainly because the NCAA banned all college daily fantasy sports, but comical nonetheless that they managed to, in a country where the average height is under 5'4", they actually thought they would not stick out stealing stuff when they're 6 feet tall. It's just never bothers my mind. And they're black. I mean, hey, let's be honest. But, oh, jeez. This is one of the dumbest stories I actually would have ever expected to have to cover. But, yes, it actually did become a national news story. And why was it important? Because you've got the brother of a NBA superstar, rookie free agent with a mogul dad that is a social media darling and basically overall the number one troll in the United States right now with LeVar Ball. So the Ball family is obviously indebted to the president. So I would expect no less than Ivanka women's sandal line from Big Baller Brand at some point in the next 24 months. So just putting it out there. I mean, you better expect it. So anyway, moving on past that nonsense, going to get into the Thursday night football action. Just because we have the Steelers and Titans coming up relatively shortly. One of the things that I would normally say for Daily Fantasy is to try to fade the Thursday night lineup. I know people are going to be tempted to take the Steelers just because it's Le'Veon Bell and yeah, got Antonio Brown. And of course, Juju Smith-Schuster is in the mix as well. I would still shy away from this. And I'll give you a reason why, because I know some of you are already sounding incredulous because it's not as though the Titans defense is that good. It's more along the lines of who is coaching the Titans defense. So Dick LeBeau is the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, and for years he was the defensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And by years, I do mean years. He was the defensive coordinator, I believe, for, well, actually, let's see, do the math. I believe it was at least 16 years. Might have been 18. He was getting close to 20 years with the Steelers organization before he was eventually let go by Mike Tomlin because he coached through the Cowher years into the Tomlin years. So you got a good decade plus, and he was there before Cowher started, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So that's why I think it's closer to 20 years. But anyway, regardless, he came in. He was there when Big Ben was a rookie. So I would look at this as an opportunity where you got a defensive coordinator, knows the offense in and out, practice against him every day. Yes, Todd Haley is gets paid too. But when a defensive coordinator knows an offense relatively well, it's really hard to come up with something that's going to throw him off. So I kind of look at this and say, you know, the Steelers' best shot at putting points on the board would be early. I just don't think they can get sustained offense. So to me, this is one of those situations where it is really appealing to take Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, but my advice to you folks is just to fade them. I think you have to fade them just from the standpoint of it's better safe than sorry. from my perspective. So in terms of my initial lineups, just because with DraftKings, obviously you can tweak them later on. But this is what I was playing around with in the interim right before kickoff here. Tom Brady, I'm gonna roll with as my number one QB again. You know what? The Raiders have a joke of a defense. Still, I would still take it, Brady as number one in cash games. I may play around with this further for in terms of tournament plays, but for right now, sticking with Brady. And then my number one running back is Kareem Hunt. Obvious matchup against the Giants defense that has rolled over and is currently dead. Ben McAdoo can say all he wants about how he's not embarrassed. His team is trying to get him fired, and I don't know if he's clueless or if he's just that ignorant that he's gonna try to dismiss the what's the very obvious writing on the wall that he's not gonna be there next year. But I would say you gotta try to fit Kareem Hunt into your lineup somehow. So I'm sliding Kareem Hunt in here, even though he's 8 grand on DraftKings. You got to do it. Chris Thompson, I'm slotting in for the Redskins just because he'll make it a cheaper running back option to pair with Brady and Hunt. So that's my running back two. And in the flex, I have Joe Mixon going up against Denver defense. His salary is really low this week, only at 4 grand. Basically, the way I'm looking at this is I'm expecting the Bengals to be throwing quite a bit because of Denver is still a pretty tough run defense. So I'm expecting a lot of passes underneath, similar to what the Patriots did against the Broncos. Obviously, the Patriots are a lot smarter than the Bengals offensively. I don't think they'll be able to exploit the matchups quite as well as the Patriots did. But I still think you're going to get a decent enough volume from Mixon that it'll warrant a play here in the flex. Wide receiver one, I'm going to go with Michael Crabtree. Pat secondary still has quite a number of issues, in my opinion. Yes, they were able to be effective against Denver, but again, Denver screwed up so many things in that game. Emmanuel Sanders was going off in that game. So I still think there's an opportunity there for a number one wide receiver. And that number one wide receiver is not Amari Cooper, it's Michael Crabtree. So I'm starting the Crab Man in the wide receiver one. As my wide receiver two, I'm going with DeAndre Hopkins, 6,100, going up against the Houston pass defense. Yes, it's a tough matchup, but Tom Savage has been so utterly bad that he force feeds the ball into Hopkins anyway, even if there isn't an opportunity. So just by volume alone, Hopkins is going to get the looks. And the fact that Will Fuller is going to be out the next 2 weeks. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of coverage on Hopkins, but to my point, Savage is going to force it in there because he really doesn't know what else to do with himself. My wide receiver three is Dontrell Inman on the Bears. Had an impressive debut last week against the Packers. I'm going to look at this and say, hey, 3,200, dirt cheap. I'm going to be rolling with him in tournament plays as well, but I do like him in the cash game just because of trying to fit in my next option, which is Evan Ingram at the tight end spot with the Giants. You know, Casey is gonna be up big. There's gonna be garbage points to be had with Ingram. Yeah, I could try to figure out a way of going even cheaper with this lineup to fit in Kelsey, but I just don't see that much delineation between Kelsey and Ingram where you're getting that upgrade to spend up for Kelsey versus Ingram because Ingram's going to run you six grand and Kelsey is 7,300. So again, quite a bit of premium and I just don't see the value. Kelsey's actually ranked even higher than Gronk, which should never happen. I know the Giants are bad and believe me, the Giants are going to give up a touchdown because that's what they do to tight end. So I figured that's what DraftKings had priced in is the fact that the Giants are going to screw this up and Kelsey's getting in the end zone. But honestly, at that price point, you've got to go with Gronk. So to me, I think Kelsey would be a tournament play because I got to think people are going to be fading Kelsey. You shouldn't be taking Kelce over Gronk in any circumstance. I'm sorry. It's just inexcusable, but that's my personal opinion. And then my final matchup would be the Jaguars' number one defense for DFS and fantasy. 4 grand, you're paying a fortune, but against the Browns, they're just waiting to be had. So I would go with that lineup on DraftKings. That's my preliminary. Things could obviously change, but that's what I'm feeling pretty comfortable with at the moment. Just from my perspective, the thing you were kind of looking for here is volume and just sure bet opportunities. And I think out of all those options, the highest risk one would be Inman, just knowing that the things could go a little bit awry with just the Chicago game plan. But honestly, when you're that cheap, you're taking a shot after dark. But I think Chicago just has so few receivers that Inman makes a lot of sense. I think he is going to be highly owned, especially as a tournament play. So I don't think it's going to be that far under the radar for people. So I think people who've been paying attention to DFS will pick up on that. So just something to bear in mind going forward. But take it for what you will. That's all I've got for now. But game's about to start, so good luck, and we'll catch up over the weekend with the latest in the fantasy developments, because there's going to be quite a bit to talk about. Because I didn't even get into Tyrod Taylor getting benched by the Bills. Not that it's going to be a huge deal from a DFS perspective, but you might start seeing some Nathan Peterman stacks. So I'll keep an eye out for those and see if there's any that tickle my fancy. But for now, have a good one, folks, and enjoy the game.